Dale's Petcast. They provide unconditional love, unlimited companionship, and unquestionable support. We're talking about your pets. Useful information for you to better care for and understand your pet. This is Steve Dale's Petcast, brought to you by MerrickPetCare.com.
It is another Petcast. WGN Radio, Merrick Pet Care. Thank you very much. Merrick Pet Care is the sponsor, and so proud to sponsor, I'm sure, this specific Petcast, because we have an announcement. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum! It's the official announcement sounder. November 8th is now the first International Human Animal Bond Day. To help explain what that means, Dr. Mark Johnson is the chairman of the trustees of our special friends in the UK and vice president of the World Small Animal Veterinary Foundation. Dr. Patrick Flynn, president-elect of the Human Animal Bond Association and professional services veterinarian at Zoetis. So I'm cheering, I'm saying hooray for International Human Animal Bond Day, Dr. Flynn. What is that?
Well, it's a wonderful thing, and it's actually quite brand new. This is the very first time we've done this. No one else has been able to pull this off. So we have a recommendation and a celebration of the connection we have with all living things, including our pets, all the way through to all sorts of different creatures like bees and bats and all sorts of things. But it was needed. It's not something that has existed before, and we now have that specific celebration of all of our connection with each other.
Dr. Johnson, I think this is worth celebrating because, in fact, the human-animal bond has been around for many thousands, I would argue 40,000 years, when these wolves or wolf dogs, wolves began to become dogs, actually slept. We know this from archaeological evidence, slept with humans. I mean, the word in the United States, people say this, I don't know if they do in the UK, that dogs have gone from the backyard into our homes, into our bedrooms, all of which is true. But actually, I don't know what sleeping arrangements were like 40,000 years ago. And I suppose there was some utilitarian purpose because I don't think there were space heaters back in the day. However, those relatives, if you will, those ancient relatives going back 40,000 years with Cro-Magnon men, dogs, dog wolves, that combination, we don't even know exactly. They were in the process of becoming dogs. They trusted us with their puppies, newborns, and we trusted them with our babies. I mean, that's really quite incredible. So that's an example of the human-animal bond, I think, going back 40,000 years.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And we as human beings could not have done and found food to eat and looked after our cattle and protected them from predators and all sorts of other elements in the ways that we have over those thousands of years without the help and support of animals like dogs and horses and other domesticated animals. So they have been absolutely instrumental in our lives all the way through the history of mankind, from those caves to the current day. And now, in a very nice, holistic way, I think people are recognizing that animals, particularly pets and other domestic animals, that are a core part of our family units that we live in. So whether your family unit has a dog or a cat in it, whether you have a relationship with the wild birds outside your window and you feed them regularly, those matter to us, and particularly so now, thanks to the coronavirus that's been imposed on us all. The way we handle loneliness when we were forced to be in isolation, the way we talk to animals, particularly our pets, when we may not have friends at our sides, and the unconditional love and the relationship we have with those animals, who keep our confidences, by the way, unless other people speak dog, then it's they're a confidential key part of our family units. And never more so than now has that been, but for different reasons. When the relationship first started, it was about food, but now it's about emotion. And that's a real evolutionary change. And we wanted to come together, and I say we, the Society for Companion Animal Studies, in the UK, it does a lot of work with companion animal, the human animal bond, and use of the human animal bond in our lives, as well as the Human Animal Bond Association, which Patrick is very much representing. We felt that we should come together on an international basis to celebrate and make sure that people recognize the value of animals. Almost all of the celebrities and politicians all seem to adore being photographed and be seen filmed with video of their contributions to their lives involving animals. And we're simply putting that formally on the agenda as an international Human Animal Bond Day.
That's wonderful. Let me back up a step. You're the chairman of the trustees for Our Special Friends. What is Our Special Friends?
Right. So Our Special Friends was set up by my wife, who's also a veterinarian, and is a charity in the UK that makes the most of the relationship between humans and animals, and provides companion animal companionship services for vulnerable people. So it's a charity that supports people who are fleeing domestic abuse and are not able to go to their next safe house without an animal. So we will foster those animals to reunite them later, or we will provide visiting animals to somebody who has dementia and is not fully able to look after those animals to best effect, or somebody who has lost their pet and is extremely lonely. We will arrange visiting animals, or go on accompanied visits with animals, ideally of their preference. So if they were interested in dogs, then that's helpful. But if it's cats, then we try and adjust it to suit the needs. But an awful lot of what Our Special Friends is about is social care and support of vulnerable and socially isolated people who are having a really tough time, particularly during the Corona coaster. And they have animals in their lives with existing relationships, or maybe they've just lost an animal and want to have a more worthwhile life subsequently. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one of the key things that people may or may not be aware of is that if you have a companion animal in your life, you actually are saving, in the UK anyway, £2.45 billion, that's the British equivalent of your lovely dollars, in services from the first line practitioners, what we call general practitioners, in taking medications on time, on taking exercise with our animals, caring for another member of one's family, an extra heartbeat in the house, means that we get up off our seats, out of our beds, and contribute more to life. And Our Special Friends is trying to unlock the value that people have with those animals. It also enables the magic of an animal visiting a person who may be, for instance, a classic example is a deaf lady who turned out to be deaf. We didn't know that at the time. The family of this elderly lady was not responding well to carers, and the family asked my wife to go in with one of our dogs just to talk to her because she loved animals. Mm-hmm. And when my wife turned up at the door, the carer said, "I don't know why you're bothering to come here." Belinda said, "Well, I've been asked to by the family." She walked into the house, and our little long-haired Jack Russell Terrier jumped up onto the lady's lap, and she immediately came alive, very animatedly said, "Dog, dog, 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 dog," and big smiles and happiness. And my wife sat down with her and said, you know, how are you? And she just said, well, no one talks to me. And these carers just come past me and they'd ignore me and life's miserable and I'm hating it. And Bin said, well, why is that happening? And she said, I don't know. They just don't talk to me. And Bin said, can you hear them? And she said, no, it's all quiet. No one says anything. And through Rolo, the terrier, jumping on this woman's lap, it became clear the woman was deaf and needed hearing tests. She got hearing aids and she was then able to contribute more to life, enjoy life, be less of a burden to the carers. The whole environment just changed dramatically.
Well, right.
All because pets. One dog jumped onto a lady's lap and
right.
was... you know,
mm-hmm. pets can, animals can do that. So backing up Dr. Flynn, what is the Human Animal Bond Association? And I know that everything Dr. Johnson is saying not only resonates with you, but really explains why the Human Animal Bond Association is working with our special friends in the UK.
So true. Yeah, I could certainly back up everything you've said. I can't present it like James Herriot. I love it when Mark tells a story. but yeah, certainly we and I love that we've got that connection with veterinary social work and exactly what you just heard, what they're able to do, because that's a piece of the puzzle that at least in veterinary school we didn't really learn at that time, and it's still such an important part, and it's actually a really big part whether you're doing specifically what Mark's talking about or whether you're just helping someone in the exam room through a euthanasia or maybe a new puppy or whatever it is, that still counts as some form of empathy. And the Human Animal Bond Association is another branch of that, in that we look at a broad view on that, and we like to say we advocate celebrate and educate on the human-animal bond consistently on really more and more topics. If you're interested in this really deeply, believe it or not, there actually is now a study. I have a master's degree in anthrozoology. It's the study of human-animal interaction at all levels, from, you know, art to welfare to law to veterinary medicine, everything that we do. And so I think we have kind of embraced that and really take education very seriously, but yet we still focus as a celebration on awards to like veterinary technicians and those guys. But mainly we're a group of like-minded animal care people. It's not just veterinarians, not veterinary technicians alone, but everyone who cares for animals, either officially as their job or just because they do. And I think that's been a wonderful way to base an organization and then to be able to talk about things in some of the bigger meetings that we go to, talk about everything from bees to bats to the tougher portions of the bond that we always don't shine light on. And that's neglect and abuse. And how do we deal with those kind of angles of that? That is indeed the bond. So it's gloriously complex and we embrace that. It's a wonderful group to be with because, again, of the diversity of not only human animals in the group, but non-human animals and content is never ending.
So November 8th is International Human Animal Bond Day. And I'm going to name, and I know, Dr. Flynn, you can do this. I am going to name three species that I bet you and only you can connect. But not species. Well, I guess, broadly speaking, lots of species of bats. But I'll say bats, domestic, you know, our dogs, and sheep, domestic sheep. How can you put it all together, these three very different types of animals?
That's a really good question. I wasn't ready for sheep.
Fooled you.
Well, I mean, I think they all contribute. Obviously, that's the goal. I don't know if I can connect them directly to each other.
Not to each other, but to us. Do we all have...
Mark says he can. I'll throw in my rock and then Mark can go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, I think contributions are huge from all those creatures. And they have been for particularly from bats. Bats win the prize there because they've been doing what they do even before we existed. But they help us with enormous amounts of pollination and other things as far as parasite control. Dogs, again, even now we're learning from their genetic profile, have a connection to us and have for a long period of time, long before horses and cats and everybody else. And sheep have been a wonderful source of all sorts of different contributions and still are. So those are my thoughts on that.
Dr. Johnson?
Yeah, I might be a sheep farmer, or a hobby farmer who keeps the occasional sheep in my backyard. To control the sheep would probably have dogs, and this could be in Canada, this could be in the UK, this could be in Africa. So this is not a Western world, developed world thing. This is all over the planet. So they would be an intimate thing, but they would suffer quite a lot of attacks from things like flies and other insects that might be a problem for them. And as well as the bats that are going to be pollinating and helping with the vegetation and the horticulture side of things, bats that are feeding off insects and things within the farm environment or the domestic where the sheep are kept play just as much of an important part. So there it is. And if you speak to a hobby farmer, they'll be very happy to have a really good relationship with their sheep, an economic one in commercial terms. If you're a sheep farmer, and the dogs are, not just working animals, helping with herding and keeping the animals under control and keeping them in a place. They'll protect them from predators, particularly, again, if we think of wilder countries like Africa, where there are predators who would gladly help themselves to a sheep. There's a really major contribution that these animals make, and it's mutual, it's symbiotic, and we benefit from the dogs, they benefit from the relationship with us. Sheep, it's a bit more of a nutritional benefit to us for obvious reasons, but also don't forget, and this is really important, people constantly go on and on and on about cattle, we need to get rid of cattle and we shouldn't be eating meat. One of the biggest reasons that cattle are such an important asset in African families' lives is not the meat, it's not the milk, because that goes off in hot countries, it's not the leather. It is, surprise, surprise, whatever cows do, and the old, I won't crack the old joke, well, actually I will, what do cows drink? And the answer is not milk, it's water. Yes. But what do they do at the other end? Is produce manure, and that manure is used to fertilize the soils in developing countries, particularly where there's a lot of sunlight and warmth and water. Those soils around the equator in African countries are infertile unless you add manure to them, and in which case they grow horticultural plants that we eat, vegetables, which then get sold in farms or on the side of the road. And that is why an old cow is just as valuable as a young calf, because they are manure factories. And that means that they can fertilize the soil, grow vegetables. So please, we do all need to recognize that the world is not a simple cows are bad, sheep are bad. No, they may be ruminants, but actually they are fertilizing the soil to grow vegetables in very large numbers in soil that would otherwise not be able to support the populations. And if you take a country like Nigeria, which is destined to have more people than the whole of the USA in a small number of years, how are those people going to be fed by local nutrition, food and water, unless we have their growth of plants and vegetables appropriately, then we're going to have a lack of food for that growing population. And that's a conservative view by the World Health Organization, and why the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have worked with Zoetis in a project called Alpha in sub-Saharan African countries to support sustainable agriculture. So animals still have a really important nutritional value to us. They help vegetables grow, so the vegetarians should and those with vegetarian diets and vegan diets are held with respect, and also they form an emotional support mechanisms for us as human beings too. So it really is multifactorial, and we need to not just pick on ruminants and say all ruminants are bad. They're not.
All right. So, Dr. Flynn, clearly, I believe you'd agree with me that Dr. Johnson could be a part of, with that answer, about what I'm about to ask you about, and that is something you're launching called the Academy. Can you explain what that is?
I can. So the Human Animal Bond Academy is something that we're offering, in again, in a joint effort here, and will be a on-demand source of education on, again, as I mentioned, the complexity of the bond that we have with other creatures. And we have already a great setup, a library of really top-notch speakers on, again, all sorts of topics, from why, what about dogs? What really is makes them so cool? I mean, really from a scientific point of view, what makes them cool? What about courthouse dogs? Does anybody know anything about facility dogs and how they do and what they do? Again, back to what Mark does to help children and really hesitant people in court situations. Again, expert on talking about homeless populations and their pet ownership. I learned an enormous amount from that. So it's something that'll be beneficial, certainly to, again, to the veterinary crowd, but doesn't have to be veterinary specific at all. And something that's offered at a level, not meaning that a low level for the public, but something that everyone can digest and enjoy. And it will be a growing tree of education. So if you're able to come on and go through I think we have 7 modules now. My hope is as the year goes on, next year goes on and beyond that, we'll be able to offer more and more levels and maybe even spoke them out in areas. Maybe you're really interested in social work, or maybe you're really interested in this kind of empathy, darker side. Like, how do I, you know, what do I do if I interact with someone who says that they're significant other is hurting their pet in an effort to hurt their relationship or to keep them from leaving them, or, you know, complex situations like that. Unfortunately, that's still all under the umbrella of the human animal bond, as is the fun stuff. So we have a whole thing on consent and how to listening for yes and no signs from dogs and cats, and some really good stuff about cat behavior that is just needs to be known, because these poor kitties are constantly telling us and speaking to us in ways that we don't always hear. So a really exciting accumulation of information, and that it was being launched also on the International Human Animal Bond Day. You'll hear hopefully more about that very soon, but I'm very excited. It's been a lot of effort to get everyone together to record all these things, and it will be an ongoing effort. So it will be a living, breathing kind of deal, and should be a great source of information for everybody. Oh, there's a little creature.
Yes, indeed. My dog agrees with you. And the part about consent that you just mentioned is fascinating. We know that dogs and cats, Dr. Flynn, are always asking, cats too, are always communicating with us, often asking us questions. But we often don't do the reverse. We say, you need to do this, you must do this. But we don't ask them questions. And if we did, Dr. Flynn, would they answer? And I don't mean by the barking we just heard, but would they answer in other ways?
I wonder. You know, I think all behavior is communication. And so we need to get sharper eyes to be able to read the behavior and then hear the communication of these little ones. And I so often I see that hat or a shirt that says, hold my drink, I got to pet this dog. That's a great example of non-consent. Does that dog want to be pet?
Maybe not.
So, you know, yeah. Rethink that kind of stuff a little bit. Just watch that dog. Do they come up to and you pet them? Do they ask for more, or do they say, no, thanks, I'm going to move on with my life? You got to listen to that kind of stuff. So hang in there. It's going to be a great, it's a full hour. It's a really great module.
I can see.
I can give you another example of that. My dog is a Cocker Spaniel. I have a hybrid car that has an electric battery, and he hates getting into that car. And when we go around the corner and I choose the vehicle that we're going to go into, whether it's my wife's or mine, if it's my car, he goes and lies straight on the floor and refuses to move. If it's my wife's car, which is a fuel car, he's perfectly happy to get into it. And I think he's strongly telling me, because he's done it so often, either my driving, but he doesn't mind getting into someone else's car. But in a hybrid car, I think he's hearing noises at a high frequency that we can't hear. And he's giving me the non-consent, saying, I don't want to get in that car. And he looks at me, and every time we go into it and I put him in the car, he just looks at me with that dog face that spaniels can do and says, Dad, this is horrible. I don't like being in here. So there's a classic consent thing that if you don't, if you're not paying attention, you'll miss. And actually, he's telling me clearly, I don't want to be here.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I could think of, for small dogs in particular, all the times when I've been guilty. You know, our dog is saying, I don't want to do this. And I pick up our dog because it's so easy to do. And we do it anyway because I can do that because she's, you know, 9 pounds. Same thing with a cat, you know. So we've got to see that module, Dr. Flynn. I know I do. I think it's fascinating. So how can one learn more about the organization? I'll start with our special friends and also International Human Animal Bond Day, Dr. Johnson.
Yeah, so the website for our special friends in the UK is ourspecialfriends.org. That's the charity website. The Society for Companion Animal Studies, their website is scas.org.uk. And where the Human Animal Bond Academy is going to be placed is going to be on vetacademy.org. And it will be very clearly marked for the Human Animal Bond Academy and the series of modules that are going to be on that.
Great. That's vetacademy.org. For the Human Animal Bond Association, Dr. Flynn?
An easy one, humananimalbond.net. It is a brand new, squeaky clean website that's just gorgeous. So go there and explore.
Well, congratulations. I am looking forward to November 8th, International Human Animal Bond Day.
Yay!
Dr. Johnson, Dr. Flynn, thank you both.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And this petcast, making this very special announcement on WGN Radio, brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. Without Merrick Pet Care, we wouldn't have had this very special announcement. Thank you to our friends at Merrick. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Steve Dale's Petcast, brought to you by MerrickPetCare.com. And as Steve always says, be good to your pet, and they'll be good to you.